Hello, my name is Michael Longley. I came to Yeats in the third form at my grammar school in Belfast, and the prize I chose for English was the collected poems of W.B. Yeats, and a lot of it was beyond me, but gradually, over the years, he has become my favourite poet, and I think of him as the greatest poet, really, since Shakespeare. I don't know where I would be without the poems of W.B. Yeats. Now, I am obsessed by swans, and I'd like to read this glorious lyric by Yeats, "The Wild Swans at Cool." Now, he's not referring to the mute swans, which we see in all our rivers, but to the hooper swans, which come here from October till about April to winter in Ireland. Beautiful creatures. And for me, this poem is about everything. Like all good poems, like all great poems, it's about everything. The wild swans at cool. The trees are in their autumn beauty. The woodland paths are dry. Under the October twilight, the water mirrors a still sky. Upon the brimming water, among the stones, are 59 swans. The 19th autumn has come upon me. Since I first made my count, I saw, before I had well finished, all suddenly mount and scatter wheeling in great broken rings upon their clamorous wings. I have looked upon those brilliant creatures, and now my heart is sore. All's changed since I, hearing at twilight the first time on this shore, the bell beat of their wings above my head, trod with a lighter tread. Unwearied still, lover by lover, they paddle in the cold, companionable streams, or climb the air. Their hearts have not grown old. Passion or conquest, wander where they will, attend upon them still. But now they drift on the still water, mysterious, beautiful. Among what rushes will they build? By what lake's edge or pool delight men's eyes when I awake some day to find they have flown away? When I read The Wild Swans at Cool, it makes me see the swans in Carrigskeewaun. It makes me hear the bell beat, as he says, the bell beat of their wings. It makes me think what a wonderful verbal device oxymoron is. The cold, companionable streams, cold, companionable, that's magic. And the shape of the stanzas, it makes me realise the power of rhyme and of stanzaic pattern, of sheer brilliant craftsmanship wedded to profound and deep feelings. It takes a really great artist to be simple. And Yeats is often a complex artist, but he had this great gift of simplicity, and as well as everything else. And I love this little, tiny little lyric about this great mind addressing a simple little animal. And for me, this is one of those tiny poems that fills the page and fills my heart. To a squirrel at Cail na nó. Come play with me. Why should you run through the shaking tree as though I'd a gun to strike you dead? when all I would do is to scratch your head and let you go. Nothing to say about that, except hats off, Mr. Yeats. You're a genius. Yeats was a muse poet. He addressed a lot of his poems, as we know, to Maud Gonne. But in later life, his poems become more sensual, more overtly sexual. And the next poem I'm going to read is called A Last Confession. And what's interesting about, well, there are many things that are interesting about it, but it's interesting that it's written from the point of view of a woman. This is a female persona, a woman remembering sexual ecstasy. And it's written in beautifully shaped stanzas with a perfect rhyme scheme, which in a way intensify and contain and concentrate the emotion. A Last Confession. What lively lad most pleasured me of all that with me lay? I answer that I gave my soul and loved in misery, but had great pleasure with a lad that I loved bodily. Flinging from his arms, I laughed to think his passion such, he fancied that I gave a soul did but our bodies touch, and laughed upon his breast to think beast gave beast as much. I gave what other women gave that stepped out of their clothes, but when this soul its body off naked to naked goes, he it has found shall find therein what none other knows, and give his own and take his own and rule in his own right, and though it loved in misery, close and cling so tight, there's not a bird of day that dare extinguish that delight.